The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
We lost that championship game against Donegal. We didn't lose a game for 7 years after that. I tell you, we were angry after that game. Dublin came back, I remember, in 2015. It was, we're putting this right.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now. Okay, we are delighted to be joined by AIB GAA Ambassador Seamus O'Shea of Brayview GAA and formerly of Mayo ahead of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship final as longtime rivals Mayo and Tyrone meet in a mouth-watering final to round off the toughest knockout season of summer football. Seamus, how are you keeping?
Good, thanks. How are you, Nan?
All good. Has the mood in Mayo changed slightly at all since Tyrone have been confirmed as final opponents?
I don't think so. No, I'm not in Mayo, so I wouldn't know.
But right.
I wasn't hugely surprised by the result of the weekend. I'm not sure if anybody else in Mayo was. So I kind of expected them to play in Tyrone. But no, I don't think the mood has changed. I think, you know, regardless of the result, the lads are looking forward to the game and hopefully getting a win.
That seems to be one of the themes over the last couple of days, that maybe playing Kerry would have been more straightforward in many ways, that there is a sense of maybe the unknown and there's a more complicated opponent, I guess, in Tyrone.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, to be honest. I think in a weird way, it's easier set up against them because there's a couple of key matchups you have to look after. I mean, Clifford is the obvious one, then Sean O'Shea. And like, if you can nullify those two threats, then you're probably doing a pretty good job. Also, Kerry probably aren't, sorry, there's no probably, they're not as good defensively as Tyrone are. So they can be got at there. And then it's probably not dissimilar to Dublin in a way. Like, you know, like the lads had key matchups with Conor Callaghan and Kieran Kilkenny. With Tyrone, it's just a bit more difficult because while they don't have, you know, that one player that's probably as good as David Clifford, nobody does, they've got a whole load of players that are really talented that aren't a million miles off that. And it makes that matchup discussion just a little bit more difficult. So, like, even the last day, like, McCurry had a quiet game and was well marshalled by Tom Sullivan, and he came good late on. McKenna had a quiet enough game for most of it, but obviously came through with those two huge scores. So, and obviously McGeary, like, was man of the match, and even for him, like, he had a brilliant game, but I think he missed four opportunities. So, they've just a whole load of threats throughout the pitch that makes it difficult for Mayo to match up. But, like, I think Mayo are probably similar in a way in that it's difficult to match up with Mayo as well because they have a lot of options throughout the field.
What was your experience then of watching Mayo versus Dublin? You saw your former teammate Andy Moran up on the big screen numerous times, jumping out of his seat. Were you similarly animated?
Yeah, I was pretty animated. Right? Yeah. It was hard watch. Yeah, I was saying it was the first time I was at a Mayo match as a supporter since I was a kid, I'd say. Maybe since the final in 06 or something like that. So it was a strange experience. I wasn't at the Galway game because I was at home and I didn't travel to Grove Park. But it was a really strange experience. And obviously in the first half, it was hard to watch and I was concerned for the lads. But I got pretty animated in the second half and obviously like just delighted for the lads. And it was pretty emotional towards the end and thrilled that, like, you know, obviously we've had great battles at Dublin over the years and that team isn't quite as good as it was, but it was great that it was Mayo that finally put an end to their run. So I was just thrilled for the lads that were involved.
Did you get a sense in the aftermath of last year's All-Ireland final that the gap had closed considerably between Mayo and Dublin?
I felt it was closing before that, to be honest. I felt like over the last number of years, Dublin have been on the slide a little bit, but the rest of the kind of chasing pack weren't quite able to catch them. They were still the best team in the country. And even if you look at last year, okay, Dublin looked pretty comfortable during that last quarter and I don't think we really had a chance to win it. But at the same time, like, that was a pretty inexperienced Mayo team. Like, we had a whole load of fellas that were in their first season playing football and we were in the game with, you know, 15 minutes to go. So, you know, certainly I felt like, yeah, there's not as much of a gap there as they're coming back to the chase and pack a little bit. And it's only a matter of time. And like, that's to be expected. They've lost a huge amount of, you know, really talented players. So, look, it can only be good for football. Just glad that it happened to be us that got one over them in the end.
Did a different version of James Horan appear when he came back into that Mayo dressing room? Was there a different type of manager during his second stint, one that has taken him to beating Dublin, which he hadn't, which I guess was a rare occurrence before in his first stint. But was there a different edge to him at all when he came back as manager?
Well, we beat them in 2012 when he was there as well.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I think, like, James is, look, he would have obviously learned a lot since he was there. I'm sure he's tried to improve things from his first stint. He's gained a lot of experience. He's been involved in club teams over the years and in the meantime. I think fundamentally he's the same individual. He's the same manager. And, like, you'd have to do credit. He's done something similar. Like, there was a huge transition period during our time back in 2010, 2011, and brought us on a great run. And he's done something similar now to get to back-to-back All-Ireland finals in a period where he lost a lot of players, and he's brought through a huge one. Ian Fuller's is an incredible achievement. So, like, he's done a brilliant job, and fair play to him.
When you're watching that Dublin game, what was your emotion when Aidan gets taken off? Because it seemed that Aidan, in extra time when he's coming back onto the pitch, that was certainly the sign of a man who had no problems with being taken off. There was no bad blood there whatsoever.
No, Aidan's been around long enough at this stage to know that, like, look, things didn't go well from the last day. James made a decision to take him off, the same as any other player, and that's fair enough. So, look, I think Aidan was just delighted for the team that they got over the line, and he's an opportunity now to have a better game in the final. So, that's what he'll be focused on. He'll obviously be disappointed in his own performance the last day, but, you know, it happens to all of us. You move on and you try and improve and get it right the next day.
And that's almost an ace up the sleeve of Horan going into this All-Ireland final, is that it will be a talking point about does Aidan O'Shea start? I'm sure he will, but where does he start if he does make that starting 15? So what's your suspicion? I'm sure there's nothing being shared with you, but what's your suspicion on how he might be utilised in the final?
I think they're pretty settled at midfield, like Maddie and Diarmaid or Conor Loftus. I think that's been going well. So I don't know, because I'm obviously not privy to what's going on anymore, but I would expect them to play either full forward or centre forward. But look, maybe James and the management team have other plans, I'm not sure, but it gives them a good focal point in the full forward line. And if he can win ball and he gets the likes of Brian O'Donoghue and Tommy Conroy and some of these fellas coming off him, it also takes away a lot of attention from some of those players, maybe gives them a little bit more room. So, look, we'll see what happens, but I'd expect him to play a big role anyway.
How happy was Conor with his contribution in the semi-final?
I think he was delighted. Like, he was like everybody else. He was, like, Conor's had a tough time with over the years where he's been in and out a little bit, and he's back now the last year, and he hasn't played much up until now, but it was great to see him come in and make such an important contribution. I think he was involved in the Evan Cumberford turnover, the one where he got pulled for steps, and then he was involved obviously at the end in terms of forcing the 45. So he made a big contribution. Obviously that's the score that ended up drawing the game and forcing it to extra time. So I was delighted for him. It was great to see him get back involved again and see him get a game at Croke Park. So thrilled for him, and hopefully he can push on from that now and have another impact in the final.
How has that been for you this year, not being privy to those conversations that are happening inside the Mayo camp? When do you realise that they're not quite telling you everything?
Yeah, I don't ask, to be honest. I'm just like, it's not my business anymore. You try and stay away from it. You don't want to put lads in a position either where they have to, like, tell you to go away or lie to you. So, obviously I'll chat to the lads and ask them how they're getting on and stuff, but in terms of what they're doing and how they're setting up and all that kind of stuff, you leave them at it. Unfortunately, it's, you know, I'm finished now, so that's it, and you kind of just aren't privy to those conversations, but, it's fine. It's fine.
And will you be looking after your tickets now for the final?
Will I be, sorry?
Will you be the designated family member to look after the ticket allocation for the final?
No, definitely not. No, I only found out recently that apparently former players get a ticket to the All-Ireland. So that was nice. That was a nice bit of news to get. So I let the lads look after the ticket, or dad look after the tickets. I didn't want them to do with it. And I'll pick up my allocated ticket and go to the game as a supporter.
Shami, I did want to ask you about Matthew Rouen, who is having an incredible season. You obviously would have played alongside him quite a bit and watched this guy rise to become the midfielder that he is. What is it about him, particularly in 2021, that has made him, I guess, close to an all-star level, if we're predicting it at this point?
Yeah, he's just matured as a footballer, I think. I think early on, first of all, as a midfielder coming through, it can be difficult to make an impact because physically it just takes a little bit of time, more so than other positions. And Matty probably felt that early on. And you can see the work that he's put in to get himself physically prepared to play at this level, and he's in unbelievable shape. The other part of it is he's just matured as a player. I think starting off as a young fella, he would have been inclined, he would have been inclined to make a few mistakes, needless errors, things like that, where he'd do two or three good things and then two or three great things. And he's just become a more consistent player in that respect. He doesn't try and force the issue a little bit, and he understands when there's an opportunity there for him to take it. And has just become a more kind of composed and consistent player. He's an incredible athlete. So he's consistently trying to force his opposition onto the back foot and get them running towards their own goal, which is a difficult thing as a midfielder to manage for 70 minutes. So, he's a really important player for Mayo, and he's been excellent so far this year. So it's great to see him going so well.
How do you manage to find that composure as a young midfielder? Is there anything you can work on specifically? Is it literally just bad experiences and good experiences that get you to that point?
Yeah, I think it's just probably experience. It's understanding that not every play needs to be a brilliant one. Sometimes you can just pick out a simple pass and move on and just bide your time a little bit, be patient. And the kind of opportunities that you're looking for, particularly as an attacking midfielder, they'll present themselves if you're a bit more patient rather than going looking for them all the time. So I think it's just a part of it is just becoming a little bit more mature and getting that experience or that game experience consistently year in, year out, that allows you to get to that point.
It does seem, and you mentioned it there, that being a midfielder in the modern game is a little bit of an unforgiving position given the way the game is played at the moment. So it does kind of come with the territory, doesn't it, that you are going to have a few tough years as a young midfielder, because I guess if you're going to make any mistakes, they'll be pretty glaring errors, or so they'll seem at the start.
Yeah. And look, that's the same for any footballer. Like it's a big step up. And in fairness to the lads, there's a whole load of young fellas that have come in and over the last number of years. And to be fair to them, they've done brilliantly. To be in their second All-Ireland final in what for many of them is their second year in the panel, and to be playing at the level they're at such a young age is a credit to them. The rate of improvement that they've shown over the last couple of years has been brilliant. And I think they're well off their peak even yet. Like we should expect them to improve and get better over the coming years. So hopefully that bodes well for us over the next few seasons as well.
Did you realise immediately when these guys were coming in last year and the year before that this was a special group of players?
Yeah, to be honest, it jumped out straight away. I remember when Oisin Mullen came in a couple of years ago, he came in after an under-20. They got knocked out of the under-20 championship, and James brought him in for training. And within 10 minutes, I was there, oh, lads, who was this fella? And it was the same when I went in last year. I hadn't seen Tommy Conroy play much before. And as soon as I saw him, what he was doing inside the training, I was blown away, to be honest. So it was pretty obvious early on, to be honest. And I was excited watching them because I could see in training what they were capable of. And it was pretty clear that they were very, very good players.
What was it about them that took you by surprise that little bit?
I think it's just, it's a difficult environment to come into. Like, when you're coming into an experienced team like that, it takes a little bit of time. What often happens is you'll see a fella come in and have a good session or two, and then they get found out because they're, fellas get used to them and their tendencies and things like that. And these fellas were just consistently good week in, week out, and they just fit in straight away and very quickly became really, really important players to the group and leaders within the group. So I think that was probably what stood out for me, that it wasn't kind of just a one good session here or there. Like, that these fellas were top players that were delivering week in, week out. It's no surprise to me really that they're performing at the level they're at.
You're going to be asked this question so much over the next 10 days, but is this going to be the year?
I don't know. I hope so. We'll see. Look, I think they have a great opportunity. I think it'll be a really tight game. The way Tyrone play, it'll likely be a very tight game. Both teams match up pretty well together, I think. And it's a tough matchup for both teams. As I said, there's not kind of one player that you need to worry about or need to stop. But both teams are fancy. Tyrone beat us. It was the last year in the league to stay up. We have a good record against them in the championship. But I think they're fairly evenly matched. And hopefully we can come out on the right side of it and get a good performance.
You have been listening to, for the last few minutes, AIB GAA Ambassador Seamus O'Shea of Brafey and formerly of Mayo, ahead of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship final, as longtime rivals Mayo and Tyrone meet in a mouth-watering final to round off the toughest knockout season of summer football. Seamus, great stuff. Thanks a million.
Good on.